We will begin the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning with a Bible question. Now, we're in a study of Moses, and right now we're talking about that time that Moses came and he saw the bush that was burning on the backside of the wilderness, and the bush was not burned up. And as he approached the bush, God spoke to him out of that burning bush and told him to take off his shoes, for he was standing on holy ground. It's a beautiful passage that we're all familiar with. Now, God told Moses at that time that he wanted him to return to Egypt and to lead his people out of Egypt into a land that he would show to them. And he described this land in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. Now, listen to this. He says, I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and large. And it was a land that was flowing with something. What was the land said to be flowing with? Now, it's poetic terms. It's not flowing with water. This good land and large, to show its blessings and its richness, was flowing with something. Do you know what that was? We'll read the answer to that in just a moment as we read the remaining of Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, do you know the answer to the question? The land where God would bring the children of Israel out of Egypt into a land that was a good land and large and flowing with what? Let me read it to you. Exodus 3 and verse 8. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Well, that's the answer. The land flowing with milk and honey. It sounds like a wonderful place, doesn't it? And a rich place, and it would be. God would bless that land, and they would be rich and prosperous, provided they would stay faithful to God. But when they turned unfaithful to Him, He said the sky would be as brass and the ground as iron, so that would not always be such a wonderful land. But at that time, it was described as a land flowing with milk and honey. Let me read to you from Elam's notes, Sunday school notes he prepared for the Sunday schools of July the 18th, 1926. This is called the land of Canaan, because the Canaanites lived there. The Canaanites were descendants of Canaan, a son of Ham. The Hittites descended from Heth, the second son of Canaan. The Amorites, Jebusites, and Hivites also descended from Canaan. Other tribes also descended from him. The Jebusites were a mountain tribe that inhabited Jerusalem. It was taken by Judah. We read of a threshing floor of Arura, the Jebusite, there at Jerusalem. The origin of the Perizzites is not known. They're frequently mentioned among the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. And we read that Moses' mission to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. What a blessed thing to be God's people. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. But Moses, he didn't think he'd be the best one to do this, and he began to offer to God excuses. Let me read to you Exodus 3, verses 10 and 11. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Humbly, Moses thought this was an impossible task for him now. His first effort 40 years previous to this had failed. Indeed, this would have been an impossible undertaking, but for God's help. Moses' humility and meekness were essential qualifications for this great work. There's a great difference between Moses now in this story before the burning bush and Moses 40 years previous to this when he took it upon himself to kill a man. Envy and jealousy of others are the very obstacles in the way of some men. Lack of humility and meekness and much self-esteem and self-conceit stand greatly in the way of some accomplishing much in preaching the gospel. But also here, Moses is going to have to learn to have faith. God told him to do it. And if God told him he wanted him to do it, he'd be able to do it. You know, we are always able to do all things God wants us to do. God does not demand of us things that are impossible. We simply need to have the faith to step forward. Well, this objection was removed. Let me read to you Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee. You see, it wasn't so much who Moses was. Moses needed to learn who God was. And if God is with us, all things are possible. And so Moses says, Who am I? And God more or less says, Don't worry about it. I will be with thee. And then he said this, This shall be the token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth all the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, Jehovah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. The first excuse Moses raised, the first objection, Who am I? And God said, Don't worry about it, I'll be with you. And the second question then is, Well, who are you? And God explained who he was. Let me read Elam's notes on those words. God removed this difficulty by promising to go with Moses, as we have seen above. And this, the burning of the bush and God's presence in it, shall be the token unto thee that I have sent thee. As further encouragement, God promised that Moses should come out of Egypt with the children of Israel and worship him upon that mountain. Moses asked God what he must say when the children of Israel should ask the name of him who sent him. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. The margin puts it in the American Standard Version, I am because I am, or I am who I am, or I will be that I will be. This means God is an eternal and self-existing being. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, Moses would later write in the 90th Psalm in verse 2. And then verse 15, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Jehovah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Well, that wasn't all the objection that Moses made. We read in Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. And Moses said unto Jehovah, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And Jehovah said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh a man dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Is it not I, Jehovah? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt speak. You know, Moses, in trying to impress upon God the fact that he was not eloquent, waxed quite eloquent, didn't he? I mean, he just destroyed his own objection even as he spake. For in saying, I am not eloquent, he went on to say, I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Isn't that eloquent? Moses was looking for excuses, and that wasn't going to fly. An answer to the objection that the Israelites would not believe him, since at first they did not understand he was to be their deliverer, Jehovah taught Moses to do signs of the rod changed into a serpent and back again into a rod, and the hand made leprous and made whole again, adding that if they would not believe these two signs, then he should turn the water of the river, when poured upon dry land, into blood, answering the objection of Moses that he was not eloquent, but slow of speech and slow of tongue. Jehovah said he made man's mouth and would be with Moses' mouth and teach him what he should say. But upon Moses asking that some man be sent with him, Jehovah's anger was kindled against him, and he said he would send Aaron with him because Aaron could speak well, and was at that time coming out of Egypt to meet him, and would be glad to see him. God then promised to be with them, to put words in their mouths, and to teach them what to do. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 3 years older, according to Exodus 7 and verse 7. Moses asked permission of his father-in-law to return to Egypt to visit his people, which was readily granted. He departed with his wife and two sons. On the way, he was reproved for not having circumcised his son, which was then done. For some reason, his wife and children were sent back to his father-in-law to await the deliverance of Israel. All the men who sought to kill Moses were now dead in Egypt. The Lord also appeared unto Aaron and sent him to meet Moses. Moses reported to him all that the Lord had said. They both then turned toward Egypt. First they gathered the elders of Israel together, related the facts of God's appearance, that he had heard their cries and had sent them deliverance. To convince the elders of this, they performed the miracles. The rod changed to the serpent, the leprous hand was cleansed, the water changed to blood. The people believed and rejoiced that God had seen their afflictions. Jesus would later work miracles to convince people that God had sent him. Now that's coming to the end of our lesson. There is a little rhyme right here at the end I will read. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes.